Soccer Chat with two T's, because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga, so it's like a play on words. And, you know, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
All right, Alex, so I asked around if anyone wanted us to give, like, our view of it, since, you know, the podcaster guys are so important on what they think of this new stadium. The feedback I've gotten is, yes, we want to hear what you guys think. So we're doing a quick, what I would refer to as an emergency podcast. It is being done outside of our normal recording setup, outside of our normal ability to edit. So you guys get to hear how many times both of us say the word which basically takes up most of my editing time. So I hope you guys enjoy that. But we're going to jump right in. Big announcement yesterday from the team. What was your first reaction?
My first reaction is that the barbecue at Charlie's Quick Stop is the most amazing barbecue I've ever tasted.
Okay, I'm going to agree with you. I actually went up to the owner of it and congratulated him on the fact that I was blown away. And as a fat guy, it takes a lot to blow me away with food, because I basically just eat anything that's in front of me.
That's true. They provided the Holy Trinity, which was pulled pork, smoked chicken, and brisket. And all of it was phenomenal.
Yeah, and they not only do the catering and those type of things, but they do have a location on Main Street here in Chattanooga. So if you get a chance, go check them out. It really is quite good. I plan on eating both at the establishment, and they will be at the Red Wolves games. They were at the last game as well. They said this upcoming game, he's planning on bringing ribs. So I fully plan on making that my purchase for dinner. So
fantastic. So as far as the announcement, I am going to admit I was a little disappointed that the announcement wasn't for downtown. The more that I've thought about things, I can see the vision that owner Bob Martino has for developing this land and having it close by the announced training facility that's part of Camp Jordan in East Ridge, and how it's going to turn that area that's right off of two freeways intersecting is going to make it a destination in the Southeast for things like, say, the USL Academy Cup.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate here a little bit, partly because this is my true feelings. If you're not from Chattanooga, you may not recognize this, but the 75-24 split is by far one of the worst intersections in America when it comes to freeway connections. It is consistently considered one of the busiest in all of the Southeast. I think it was rated the 7th busiest in the Southeast. And they're going to start a construction project there this year that is estimated to take 5 years. So in my mind, we're adding a new stadium in the middle of a construction site. It's going to not only make the fact that we've got a location that's not ideal. I'm of that camp that really wanted a downtown. And I don't live downtown. I live in North Georgia. But I wanted a downtown facility for two reasons. One, I think it's better overall. You're going to have a longer-term setting in a downtown setting. Traditionally, it seems like soccer stadiums do well for a little bit in the suburbs and then die. And number two, I don't see how you get a walk-up gate in Eastridge. Like, people aren't just hanging out in Eastridge and like, hey, there's a game going on, let's go over there. So those two things worry me significantly about that. You've got the construction and just location just seems like it's a bad location. Mm-hmm. That said, there is a lot of positives. What you're talking about when it comes to the overall soccer culture is a positive. I got a chance last night at the big event party afterwards that happened from 5 to 7 after they made the announcement earlier in the day in Eastridge to talk with owner Bob Martino for about 15-20 minutes and discuss like what his vision was. And I'm not a guy who really holds back. So when he asked me, like, what do you think? And I said to him jokingly, I don't know that you really want to know what I think. I think it's a beautiful design and a terrible location. And he's like, well, let me tell you why we did that. And he went through exactly what you're talking about. He talked about the fact, he referred to it as the halo effect, the ability for a new development to really change a landscape, mm-hmm. and that his ultimate goal and what he wants to do with this team is be transformative for the community. He's not just looking at, I want a professional team that's my little pet professional team. Because honestly, anybody who knows anything about lower division soccer knows they don't make money. So your goal with a soccer team either has to be, I need to make money somehow else with the soccer team, or I'm okay with losing money but having an impact on the community. I think he's able to do both without losing money. Impact the community with this by improving Eastridge $125 million investment in Eastridge is unheard of. It just doesn't happen.
That is the big winner in all of this is the city of Eastridge.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other big winner, I think, is youth soccer. Like, the amount of money that they are putting into true facilities for youth soccer, not a futsal field somewhere, which is great. If you enjoy futsal, that's wonderful. Not a slapping our name on a couple of academy teams or whatever. It's, yeah, they're going to have academy teams that have locker rooms and specific facilities. Yeah, they're involved with rec leagues, but they're doing more than that. They're building a facility that integrates with everything. Dalton's right down the road. Dalton is where their two team is. You're going to see a direct path. Like, my son, not saying he would ever be this, but if he continues to have his love for soccer, could legitimately see himself going from, I play in a rec league that's Red Wolves affiliated, I try out and make it to their youth academy teams, I one day become a good player, play in a local high school and do really well, before I go to college, do what a couple of the kids from the Dalton High School are doing and go play for the Dalton Red Wolves. And then who knows, maybe down the road I get a chance to play in USL League One or USL Championship,
right,
all within my home city. That didn't exist a year ago. So that's exciting. But I still come back to, could it not have been done where you have a training facility in Eastridge, which they'd already announced, and still have the stadium somewhere else? Would that have been a better setup?
Yeah, I mean, I think that could have been a great option. Of course, you know, there's a reason that we're doing this little dinky podcast instead of as millionaire real estate developers owning our own soccer team. So I guess I'll have to defer to the expertise of Bob Martino, who's been successful at what he's done, and he sees what's going to happen in the larger vision. And I think that's a large part. People had some things built up in their head of what they were going to be able to do going downtown. And so I can understand that disappointment. I had a little bit of that as well, but the more that I've thought about things and seen that big picture, I think that it's going to end up being overall a good thing. What I've noticed in a lot of the reaction with friends and with folks that are alphas, for the most part, a lot of family folks are very happy about it. They think it's going to be wonderful. There's lots of people in this area who are already driving every weekend to Eastridge at Camp Jordan to play soccer.
Yeah.
So it doesn't faze them. And, you know, they live in Ottawa and they live in Harrison and they, you know, those kind of areas. Getting downtown is fun, but it's just as easy for them to get to Eastridge. One of the things that we were talking with some friends in the front office, they said that a large percentage of their ticket base is actually coming from that area. So it almost sounds like when the Braves moved their team to Marietta.
Well, it sounds like the same spin.
People got upset and they said, well, look, this is the area where we're selling a lot of our tickets. They're trying to do something similar, you know, here again. It's been compared to the Battery that's outside SunTrust Park that they're going to build up.
And if you look at the renderings, it's very similar to the Battery in the renderings. Now, people are going to push back and say, you know, renderings are renderings and it doesn't always happen that way. And I think that's probably accurate. It probably won't look exactly like that. But from talking with Bob and talking with...
Wait, those weren't blueprints? I thought those were like blueprints. That's what it was actually going to look like.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's that's the thing that cracks me up. Like, obviously it's not what it's going to look like.
What is this? A soccer field for ants?
Listen, Zoolander.
All right.
So here's the thing. Let's get past the location, because that's not changing. So now we look at it and say, okay, the goal is for this to open up legitimately for next season, which means he's got to have shovels in the ground pretty quick. So I asked him when I was talking with him, I was like, how far away are you from starting? And his answer really surprised me. So we had to hold off a little bit on getting our exact permits in, because people talk. He said, but we put them in Monday. And he said, the city of Eastridge has been 100% behind us. And he didn't come around and say other cities haven't, so I'm not going to put words in his mouth. But the impression I got from it was he was, as a developer, was comparing it to his past history. And he really felt like he had the support of the city more than he normally does, mm-hmm. which says to me, there's a good chance they do get this open for 2020. Now, that said, it's in a floodplain. So is Bass Pro Shops, for those of you that are going to freak out. Bass Pro Shops isn't going to be building where they're going to be underwater. This guy's a real estate developer by trade. He's not an idiot. If you look at the plans, there's already a retention pond built into the rendering. So the plan is that there's going to be a retention pond there. Also, the main flood area, the part that is official flood zone that you can't build on, they've already built out that's going to be walking trails and that sort of area.
Right.
So they're, even in their renderings, without official engineering coming in, because they couldn't at this point, right? they already recognize this is how it's going to have to be somewhat built. So that makes me happy. The other part that's been brought up that I think we should discuss a little bit is there going to be money provided by the city? That's kind of one of those, people always like to say, sports complexes don't bring actual revenue in. It's this misnomer. I think the problem with that statement is you're assuming that someone else is paying for it, that it's being paid for by tax dollars. That's not this situation. Like, this is self-funded. Now, there is tax incentives that will allow them to recoup a lot of the cost. But that's a big difference between the city saying, we're going to give you $3 million to build this. There's a big difference between those two, to the point where you're even having someone like Tim Kelly, who is the CEO for CFC, mentioning that his other businesses, because he's a very good businessman, he owns the Honda Power Sports, the largest Honda dealer in the nation. They're going to be building in one of these same sort of border region areas for his new Honda dealer because it is a very good program. And so he even has come and said, you know, those are two different things.
Right.
And that to me says either one, he's impressed by what they're doing, or two, he recognizes that what they're doing is what every other business that's recognizing this really good program that came out in 2012 is, and utilizing it in an intelligent manner. The Times Free Press article even references that they passed up on other tax incentives that existed in other areas and in Chattanooga that would have been there and available to them, but that they chose this because they still had that opportunity and they really felt the city was behind them. So I think I want to make sure everyone's clear on this. This is privately funded with incentives to be in that area. That doesn't, that's not the same thing as the government helping pay for it.
Yeah, and I think that's true. I'm definitely in the camp of Bill Simmons, who says, you know, to the owners, build your own effing stadium.
Yeah.
So, and that's definitely, that part is what he's doing. He's spending his own money to get this stadium built and hoping to make money off of the development that comes around it as hotels and apartment complexes and things build up to manage those things. So
yeah,
that's also part of that larger vision that I think he has.
So the one thing that didn't change was the actual rendering of the stadium. That's very similar. Mm-hmm. And it's a 5,500-seat stadium. I asked this question as well. Is that the limit? Like, is it being built in such a manner that it can be expanded? The reason for that is there's always that carrot. So everywhere you go, like when you were following MPSL CFC, the carrot was we're going to go professional. Well, now the new carrot is we're going to have promotion relegation possibly in USL.
Right.
So I asked this, like, is it ability to be expanded? His answer without hesitation was we're building it with the understanding that it could be expanded down the road, which says to me, he wants that area to grow and he wants that team to grow. And if it grows to the point where they can actually sustain the ability to move up, that's still in his vision, which makes me as a fan happy because I want better soccer. The other thing that came out I wanted your opinion on, he talked about during both the discussion that was done at the East Ridge unveiling and done at the party afterwards in downtown Chattanooga, he talked about the fact that they're going to involve the Scenic City Alphas, who is the supporter group for the Red Wolves, in developing the supporters section. Did you hear much about that, or did you? What do you think of that area?
I'm pretty sure I had my face stuffed with barbecue at the time. No, I did hear him talk about that. It's mentioned in the article by our buddy Patrick McCoon with the Times Free Press. Shout out, Patrick. So I think that's an awesome thing. It's going to make it a great atmosphere when we have a chance to kind of talk about here's some things that we would love to be able to have. It's going to be really important for us to, you know, get together as a group and make sure that we have the right kind of things that we're asking for.
So some of the,
I wouldn't even know where to begin.
So some of the examples he brought up, because I asked him, I was like, what are you talking about when you're talking about like that? Like, are you talking about like it's something as silly as the color of the seats or the color of the stands? Like, or is it more actual building? He's like, no, I'm talking about, do you guys want to have standing room only type setup where it is the railings and a very steep setting?
Similar to Bank of California Stadium for LAFC?
Exactly.
Okay.
Do you want to have, some of stadiums have been built where they're actually lowered down from the seats behind them so that you can all stand without worrying about the people behind you that may be sitting, so that you can be kind of in that setup? Do you want something like that?
Uh-huh.
Like, he went through a number of different examples of things that they've seen that they're going to want input, like, what would you guys prefer?
Okay.
And the reason he said he did that was they've done some market research, and he said that they found that every supporters group is very different in what they like. Like, we may not want to be that supporters group that stands all game.
As a lazy fat guy, I'm in that camp.
Right. And he's like, he goes, it doesn't make you a bad supporter. It just means maybe we've got more supporters in our group that stare at the game as opposed to just jumping up and down together, which there's nothing wrong with either way. Right. But we want to build it for the fan base that's coming. Right. So that's kind of what was really interesting was he wasn't talking about aesthetics. He was talking about legitimately, like, how do we build it? And that, I think that goes to show their commitment to the fan base in the community as well. Because he's not just saying, I've got my idea and I'm going to do it.
Right.
Another thing that was brought to his attention by a supporter that's a member of the Scenic Cities Outpost, Thomas Scoggins, had said, what about something where you give us the ability to, like, you know, the classic buy a brick type thing and have it in there, but actually have it be a brick on the stadium or have it be a part that's, like, legitimately, like, in the supporter section that. And he said that he's already taking that and saying this is something we should do.
Right.
So those type of things that you're listening to your fan base and saying, hey, I'm interested in this. And you've only been at two official home games, four total games, and you're trusting and listening to your fan base. That's important.
That is.
So what's the thing that most worries you when you look at this whole setup that was presented? And it most excites you. So I'm going to get both sides.
Okay. I think the most worried is looking at the access, because here again, it's not directly accessible from Ringgold Road. It's not directly accessible from Spring Creek. So there's going to have to be a little bit of that when you talk about also kind of the tangle of the construction on I-75, I-24. That I'm wondering about how that's going to work. I think the thing that I'm the most excited about is next year being able to go into a brand new stadium that's our own, that we've had input on how we want to design the supporter section. That's going to be an awesome destination and really going to cement the fact that Chattanooga Red Wolves are here and they're not going anywhere. They just spent a large amount of money on this development.
Yeah. I think that that's probably the part that excites me the most. Like, and I've said this to you off the podcast, like, I'm getting worried that they haven't announced where it's going to be. Like, those type of thing, like, you can make announcements, we're going to do this, you can make a rendering pretty easily and pretty cheaply, right? You can even invest in or make an agreement to invest in Camp Jordan, and they hadn't put a shovel down a couple months ago, right? And I'm sitting here going, there's a lot of talk, but I'm not seeing action. Well, the land's been purchased. That's action, right? Mm-hmm. Now, granted, you're going to still have a lot of work to do between now and then, but that first time I get to walk into the stadium, that's where I'm going to go, they're not going anywhere. Like, and hopefully CFC's not going anywhere either. I feel like with their investment, they're not. So that means we get those two teams that everyone said couldn't happen are going to be here.
Right.
One playing in a 20,000-seat football stadium, one playing in a 5,000-seat soccer-specific stadium on different parts of the town, not overlapping. They could both have games the same night and legitimately, because they'd be pulling from different fan bases, have great crowds. And that's exciting. And so overall, I think my initial reaction was very much, oh, this is a terrible location. Like, I was very much on that camp. Like, it can't be East Ridge. And I thought I had it all figured out, right? And, like, they put their facility downtown for their, like, on 4th Street, not cheap rent, to have where their main offices were. Every announcement, everything they'd ever done had been downtown. So I thought for sure, you know, because I want to be that guy who can figure it out, it was going to be one of those, you know, properties that everyone's been talking for years about developing, right?
Right.
And so when it wasn't there, it threw me for a loop. Now, it's not as bad as some of the rumors that were out there.
Right.
There were rumors about it being out at Enterprise South where Volkswagen and Amazon are, which is a good another 10 miles from where it is from city center. That one, I think you're not even going to be able to get someone like myself to jump on that bandwagon. I'm going to go, no, that's just bad, and you're going to lose people. Because that, for me, would be 45 minutes to an hour drive.
Right.
Because of traffic.
Exactly, yeah.
So I'm glad it's not there. For me, the selfish person in me, and I did this because I'm that guy, I went on Google Maps and said, okay, what's my drive from my house to go into Findlay when I went to games there? Because I never was bothered by that. It was like 24, 25 minutes. My house to, and I put a pin where there's supposed to be the stadium, it was like 27, 28 minutes. So there's no big difference for me, and I'll never deal with the traffic of the freeway because I'm coming from North Georgia, right?
Right.
So it works out great for me. So the selfish guy in me is going, all right, I'm in the same boat I would have been anyways. The difference is I'm not downtown where I can go to some of the local places downtown. I like going to more local restaurants. They don't have a ton of those. There is a nice Italian restaurant over that direction that's really good, that's out kind of near the theater that's over there. So I'll probably go there a few times, or, you know, Cracker Barrel or whatever, because I am still a Southern redneck at times, even though I'm from Southern California. So, yeah, so it's just kind of, there is opportunity. And I want to do say this also before we end this. This is not the first growth in that area. With the Bass Pro Shop that's put in across the freeway on the other side, a new Chick-fil-A is over there, they're putting in a Starbucks over there. It's an already starting to revitalize. This can, in my opinion, will only speed that up.
Right, so, I agree.
Yeah. Anything else you want to put before we put out our emergency episode?
I have nothing.
All right, well, thank you guys for listening to us ramble about the stadium. Hopefully you got a little bit of insight. You won't hear from us again unless suddenly there's a massive change until we're recapping our victory over Richmond. So,
reach out to the podcast. If you can correctly count the number of ums that were said in this episode, we'll send you some kind of prize.
That sounds fair.
Yeah. So at Soccer Chat on Twitter, let us know.
All right. See you guys on the other side.